ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कंटिन्यूइंग अवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 थ्रू 18 टेक्स्ट 15 ईशमात्रदं स्त्रास्यं गिरिकंदरनासिकं गंडशैलस्तनं रौद्रं प्रकीर्णारुणमूर्धजं। विल रीड द रिमेनिंग टू वर्सेस इन दिस सीरीज। अंधकूपगभीराक्षं पुलीनारोहभीषणं बद्धसेतुभुजोरङ्घ्री शून्यतोय हृदोदुरं संत्रत्रशु स्म तद्वीक्ष्य गोपा गोप्यकलेवरं पूर्वं तु तन्निस्वनीत भिन्नहृत्कर्णमस्तका। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्री प्रभुपाद। द राक्षसी'स माउथ वॉज फुल ऑफ टीथ ईच रिसेम्बलिंग द फ्रंट ऑफ अ प्लाउ। Her nostrils were deep like mountain caves, and her breast resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. The sockets of her eyes appeared like deep blind wells. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet seemed like big bridges, and her abdomen appeared like a dried up lake. The hearts, ears, and heads of the cowherd man and woman were already shocked by the Rakshasi's screaming. And when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they were even more frightened. Text 18. Balam chatasya urasi kridantam akutobhayam gopyasturunam samibhyatya jagrur jata sambrama. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. Purport. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Although the Rakshasi Putana could increase or decrease her bodily size by her mystic abilities and thus gain proportionate power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally powerful in any transcendental form. Krishna is real personality of Godhead because whether as a child or as a grown-up young man, he is the same person. He does not need to become powerful by meditation or any other external endeavor. Therefore, when the greatly powerful Putana expanded her body, Krishna remained the same small child, and fearlessly played on the upper portion of her breast. Shad Aishwarya Purna Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always full in all potencies, regardless of whether he is present in this form or that. His potencies are always full. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. He can display all potencies under any circumstances. So we are going through this series of verses depicting the pastime of Krishna's killing of the demoness Putana. So we are saying in the past few days and a week or so how this whole pastime demonstrates Krishna's merciful nature. Last Saturday the verse was taken as Aho Bakkiyam Stanakalakutam. That Krishna, he gave Putana something which she didn't deserve. She came with the intention of killing Krishna, but Krishna gave Putana the highest benediction of entering into the Golok Vrindavan as one of the nurses assisting Mother Yashoda. So the whole pastime we can see, and as the pastime goes on, Krishna's merciful nature to anyone who comes to him. In fact, not just only Putana received mercy, but as we turn the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and come to the end of the chapter, Maharaj Parikshit is told by Shukadeva Goswami about what will happen to those who hear this pastime. So, it is mentioned, any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna killed Putana and who thus invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes of Krishna certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Original Person. Govinda Labhate Ratim. So the benediction is for not just Putana, but even for those who are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class 5,000 years later. And maybe 50,000 years later also. So this is Krishna's merciful potency. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Krishna is all-powerful. Even though he is a small child, he is still Shad Aishwarya Purna. So Krishna can, at any given time, he can, rather Krishna in any form, whatever he has or he has taken, he can destroy and kill any evil forces. Today is Varadeva appearance, and we can see that how Lord Krishna took wonderful form of Lord Varaha, and he killed the demon Hiranyaksha, who was causing trouble all over the universe. So this is Krishna's merciful aspect of his nature, where Krishna protects his devotees, and also Krishna, he provides ultimate benefit for even the category of people he kills. That is Krishna's merciful nature. So Krishna, whether he comes as Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna himself, or he comes in any incarnations, or whether he descends as Srimad Bhagavatam, or whether he sends his representative, the whole idea, the whole plot, his plan is to give mercy. That is Krishna's nature, to give mercy to the conditioned soul. So we actually in this week, this whole week is Krishna's mercy week, we can call, because Shripad Madhvacharya's disappearance, Ramanacharya's disappearance, today's Varadeva's appearance, tomorrow's Lord Nityanand Prabhu's appearance. A series, continuous days, day after day, where Krishna himself has come, his incarnation has come, or his representative has come to give mercy to all the conditioned souls who are in this material world rotting. So, I was going through one particular article, and the writer in that article was mentioning about a nice phrase, a nice paragraph. It was taken from the book of Socrates. And Socrates, he mentions a quite amazing factor. He mentions an allegory. And in that allegory, it's very unique to know that even in that section of the world, where they may not have access of Srimad Bhagavatam, but people like Socrates had understanding of spiritual world, kingdom of God, which is beyond this material world. Not just Brahman realization, but beyond it also. So he mentions the whole thing, this whole material world, into an allegory type. And he mentions that how he imagines a situation where there's a cave, which is an underground cave, and there's a small entrance through which the light goes inside the cave. And the passage of the cave inside is very long, deep. And finally, when the passage ends, there are a group of prisoners who are tied with iron chains. Their legs and their hands are bound. Even their neck is also bound. That means they cannot even move at all. They cannot even move their necks also. And these prisoners are there since their childhood, since their birth. The only place they can see is front. They can't even turn back because of their neck being tied to a chain. And behind these prisoners, there is a constant fire which is burning. So that is causing heat. And then Socrates mentions that there is a parapet between the prisoners and the fire. And on the parapet, there are some puppets, which apparently an unseen puppeteer is running or showing or making the puppet stands. But they can't see behind also. The shadow of those puppets are seen in the front wall on which the shadows come. And these prisoners, their only entertainment in life is to see these shadows. And they're completely engrossed. They're as if they are completely happy that they are in that place and they're getting opportunity to see these shadows being dancing on the wall in front of them. And then the prisoners can't see anything. A very thin ray of light is coming from top. And this is the sight of the plight of the prisoners. Then Socrates makes a proposition. Let us imagine if someone releases these prisoners, they remove their all their chains, iron chains, the hands, handcuffs, the legs, even the neck. What will happen? These prisoners will not even know that there is something called a standing up also. In fact, if someone forces them to stand up and start moving their hands, start moving their head, they will feel painful in doing so. And if someone tells them, turn your head upstairs and go, there is a light coming down, still they will be confused. Because throughout their life, they have been just sitting there in that position and enjoying the dancing of puppets, a shadow of dancing of puppets. And if someone tells them that all this, whatever you're watching, is all meaningless, it's an illusion, maybe these prisoners will be confused and they will feel pain that we have invested so much time, it is all illusion, how can it be? And if they see the light, their eyes will start paining, they will not be able to bear that light. They might, maybe, come back, sit in that position and themselves they start wearing the handcuffs, putting the chains around their leg and very smilingly put the chain on their neck also. And will be happy enjoying the shadows of puppet dancing. Socrates mentions another proposition. What if someone drags the prisoners, someone forces them, chalo upar, and drags them and gets them outside in the light? Maybe the prisoner will suffer like anything. And in that great pain, he will be angry on the person who brought him outside. So, Socrates mentioned it will take a great amount of time for such a person to adapt to the new environment, which is the real life. But however, after some time, after trying to adapt, once he gets adapted to that environment, then that person will thank the other fellow who dragged him. But till that time, even a proposition to go out of the current situation is painful. So by now you all must have come to know what the whole idea is, that how this material world we are all staying and we are very happy, and if someone comes and teaches us of Bhagavatam, spiritual world, life of freedom. So just the whole idea of Bhagavatam, like many times Prabhupada, we ask questions by his disciples that what we will do in spiritual world. They would ask, will Prabhupada, you be there in spiritual world? That means there is no understanding of what exactly spiritual world is all about. And currently, the position in the material world is so enamoring that we are so entangled here, we are so much bound and we are so happy here that a proposition of going outside this material world to some other place can be a difficult proposition, like that. So the transition from bondage to freedom is very painful to any prisoner. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita mentions that Krishna consciousness looks like poison in the beginning, but nectar in the end. But material life is nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. So this life of coming out may look painful, but actually it's nectar in the end. So the whole idea is compared to how Lord, he arranges for his representative or himself comes. Socrates also mentions another point. What if someone has already escaped long back and he is there and then he decides to come down? And he goes and sits near the prisoner and tells him, I have gone already up. It is a very nice place. Why don't you come with me? It might happen the prisoners will become angry on him, may even kill him. What is this? Why you are brainwashing me? Why you are trying to take me away from here? I am enjoying already. So, a representative of the Lord, or the Lord comes, they run a risk of being neglected, being not being appreciated. But yet, Lord and his representatives still come to this material world to convince us of a place which we have no idea about. So that is the merciful aspect, merciful nature of the Supreme Lord and his representatives. So Lord either comes himself as Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or he comes as Lord Nityananda Prabhu, or he comes in various other incarnations. He comes as his, comes in through his pure devotees, he spreads the message. In the Bhagavatam also, the same Bhagavatam, this is non-different from Krishna. When Krishna left at the end of Dwapar Yuga, he mentions that even though I will disappear, but I will appear in the form of Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam is here. Just by getting in touch with Bhagavatam, one gets purified and one gets association of Krishna. Other day I was reading an article, again an article, and the article heading caught my attention. And the heading was, "Is Srimad Bhagavatam class relevant today?" It's a very good question to ask. And so the modern way, so many things have taken place. The idea of communication and reaching out people is improved so much. The didactic performance of one person speaking and others hearing for 1 hour looks little old style. Now everyone has access to so many gadgets. What is so relevant of speaking, sitting in a Bhagavatam class, when we can access the Bhagavatam class somewhere else also? Why, what is the purpose of sitting here? So I was going through the article, Satsuru Maharaj writes in the article very beautifully, that definitely the Krishna consciousness movement has to go with modern trends of preaching and communication. But the old ideas which have been given by Krishna or his representatives, they are very powerful, they are very potent. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttama Shloke Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Everything that is undesirable in the heart will be removed just by attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. That is the power of Bhagavatam. Just by attending Bhagavatam class, one may feel nourished. Like one good example I can share is, just imagine, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were hooked to watching of movies. So we just have watched a movie, and we are really very much happy, so much inspired. As soon as we come out of the movie theater, we meet our friend. And when we meet our friend, we immediately tell him about our experience just now, what we had. And then we share the experience, we are so much of in joy, our emotional expressions are so powerful that, you know, wow, what a film, this, that, and so many things. Just by seeing our expression, our friend, he will be inspired to watch the film. He doesn't know anything about the movie, the film, but just seeing that we have watched and now we have come and we are describing the film in such happiness, that happiness will inspire the person to go and watch the film. Similarly, when a person reads Bhagavatam and he gets happiness from reading Bhagavatam, and then he comes and presents the Bhagavatam, what happens? The audience, they may sit and hear the Bhagavatam, and they will feel that he is so happy speaking Bhagavatam, there must be something in Bhagavatam. He may go up, pick up the Bhagavatam and start reading it. We have seen many times in our temple, there are so many devotees, so many, who speak Bhagavatam nectar pure. And when we hear their Bhagavatam class, immediate thing is, I have not read Bhagavatam for a long time. Today I should read Bhagavatam. This will never come, this may come in recording lecture, hearing recorded lecture, definitely, but the live presentation is very powerful. Someone speaks from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We feel like, oh, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I should read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that is the power of Bhagavatam. And in the same article, it is mentioned that how there are so many examples. One example prominently comes is Nectar of Devotion, that simple Brahmana who did not have money. He just heard a class. And in the class, he heard that how Lord Krishna, he can be pleased even if you perform devotional service in the mind. And when he heard that statement, that was enough. That was a life-changing statement for him. And he started performing devotional service in his mind because he had no facilities to perform physically. He had no money. So every day, without fail, morning to evening, he'll sit and he'll perform devotional service in his mind. He will perform devotion, he will perform deity worship, cooking, offering bhoga, everything in his mind. And then we see that how what happened? He He became so absorbed in that thought that finally, one day, he prepared a sweet rice in his mind, and then he wanted to offer it to Krishna in his mind. So he decided that let me check whether the sweet rice is hot or it's okay, it can be offered. So in his mind, he put his hand just to touch the sweet rice. And in reality, his hand got burned. So that is the power of hearing. Just one Bhagavatam class inspired him to hear. And that was a life-changing event, and that gave him access to the spiritual world. Lord Narayan called him, come. So this is the power of Bhagavatam. Like I heard some nice stories, and this is one Vrindavan story. It's a local story. One devotee was hearing Bhagavatam class regularly. So when he was hearing Bhagavatam class, he would get absorbed. No matter who is the speaker, he would be absorbed in the subject matter. His absorption was so deep, he completely forgot things around him. So one day, while he was hearing the Bhagavatam class, he felt a tap on his shoulder. Someone had tapped him. So he was disturbed. Who is tapping me? He turned around and saw Krishna himself standing. So Krishna said, welcome. So Krishna, I'll finish hearing about you. You wait for me, I'll come. Krishna was very happy seeing that devotee, so absorbed in hearing about Krishna. So this is the power of Krishna's hearing about Krishna. There was one Bhagavatam class, Bhagavat Katha going on in Vrindavan. And in that Bhagavat Katha, the speaker was speaking very nicely. The audience also was hearing. But when the audience was hearing, there was some disturbance. The disturbance was that nearby there was a house. And outside the house, one old lady, she was grinding grains on the mortar. That was her livelihood, actually. Her daily livelihood, the Bhagavatam class was going for a long time, so she was grinding also. So her grinding mortar was creating some sound, and that was disturbing. But some of the devotees who were hearing, they could not say anything to the old lady. But actually, Lord Krishna came there. And he told the lady, why you are disturbing the Bhagavatam class? They are all hearing my katha. Why you are disturbing? So the old lady said, what can I do? I have to earn my livelihood. If I don't do this grinding thing, I can't sell in the market. I can't get money. I can't live. The Bhagavatam class is going on. Very good. But what about my livelihood? So Krishna said, don't worry. I'll take care of you. Then Krishna put his lotus feet on her mortar. And Krishna's lotus feet came imprinted on that mortar. And Krishna said, today onwards you stop grinding grains. And today onwards this mortar will become very famous. People will come to see this grinding mortar because my lotus feet is on that. And when they come, they will give some donation to you and you maintain your livelihood. So Krishna arranged all this just to keep the Bhagavatam class on. No disturbance for the Bhagavatam class. Because Krishna also appreciates a powerful Bhagavatam class and a powerful Bhagavatam class audience. So even today, this place is there in Vrindavan, in the Parikrama Road. Very, not much well-known place, but it is mentioned in one of the books, this Raj Shekhar Prabhu's book on this place. I have not been there, so next time we can go. So this is the power of Bhagavatam. So anything, Bhagavatam or Lord's incarnation or his devotees, whoever they are, the merciful aspect of the Lord is available to all of us. So today is a very auspicious day of Lord Varadev's appearance. And from the life of Varadev's appearance, from his pastime, we can see that how Lord Varadev, he entered into the deepest region of Garbhodak ocean. And then he removed Mother Earth. Mother Earth happens to be Lord's devotee and consort. So Giriraj Maharaj mentioning one of his class that Lord Krishna took the form of Varadev so that he could enter deep into those places where no one goes. So he took the form of a boar, transcendental boar, to go into those places where no one goes, so that he could lift Mother Earth. So Maharaj was mentioning Giriraj Maharaj this parallelly that similarly, Lord and his representatives like Lord Varadev, they also go to those places where no one goes, just to uplift conditioned souls from those places. And we can see the example of Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada went. After Srila Prabhupada went, then the preaching all over the world began. But actually, before Prabhupada, it was so difficult. And Prabhupada actually reached, he directly went to where? Bhavari. the place where no sane man would go. Even Americans were telling him, Prabhupada, don't go there. So Prabhupada went, reached down there, and he established his Krishna consciousness first center in that place. And then from there, the whole thing began. So this is the power of great devotees who are empowered by Lord. So we are seeing here that this is today's Lord Varadev's appearance. Tomorrow is going to be Lord Nityanand Prabhu's appearance. We thought we'll share something on Lord Nityanand Prabhu also. Just a way of getting purified. And so Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his class that Lord Nityanand Prabhu is very, very merciful. He referred to one particular purport class of Srila Prabhupada on the Bhajan Nitaya Pada Kamala. So Prabhupada mentions in that Bhajan Nitaya Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. So in this bhajan, Prabhupada says, Narottam Das Thakur compares Lord Nityanand Prabhu's lotus feet to be Koti Chandra Shushitala. Every day in the morning we sing, we began our day by Samsara Dava Nala Lidhaloka. The samsara is like Davanal, forest fire. And forest fire, what is the cause of forest fire? Someone goes there with a matchstick or a lighter to light a forest fire? No. When it happens, no one knows. It just happens. Samsara Dava. So in this forest fire of this material world, Nityanand Prabhu's lotus feet is like Sushitala. Shitala means cold, and Sushitala means very cold. We are now in winter season. But this cold is very difficult cold to bear. This is not Sushitala, this is Kushitala maybe. In the morning it's difficult to get up, even to bathe. But Nityanand Prabhu's lotus feet is Sushitala. Nitaya Pada Kamala Koti Chandra, and that Sushitalness is also like Chandra, like a moon. And not just one moon, Koti Chandra, millions of moon. Nitaya Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala Jechayai Jagat Jurai. Prabhupada mentions later that Se Sambandha Nahi Jar Britha Janma Gelotar. If one is not able to make a connection in this life with Lord Nityananda, se sambandha nahi, one just cannot make a connection. He loses the opportunity of making a connection with Nityananda Prabhu. Then, britha janma, his human life is gone waste, useless. This shows the importance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Prabhupada says, that how important it is. One has to establish that connection. And sei pashu, not just he has wasted his human form of life, there are more alankars to his decorations to his personality. Sei pashu, such a person is like a pashu, is like an animal. And not just animal, he is an animal, but bado durachar. He is a misbehaved animal. And bado means really misbehaved. So Prabhupada mentions, animal is actually, animals do not know how to behave. But animal can be tamed. But when a human being becomes like an animal, very difficult to tame him. So therefore, Prabhupada mentioned, Netaira Karuna Hobe Braje Radha Krishna Pabe. If you want to approach Radha and Krishna, one must achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes are very amazing, very wonderful. And by hearing the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, one feels so inspired to take shelter of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So we'll narrate today one very beautiful pastime. It's a well-known pastime. Every Nityananda Rishi, we either speak this pastime or we enact the drama of this pastime. But I decided to speak on this pastime a little more detailed based on Chaitanya Bhagavat, because the details are really very nice. So one day, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they were called and summoned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called both of them and said, Shuno Shuno Nityananda Shuno Haridas Sarvatra Ammar Agya Koroho Prakash. O Nityananda Prabhu, O Haridas Thakur Prabhu, please hear me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sarvatra Ammar Agya, go everywhere and you go and tell everyone my order. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order? Prati Ghare Ghare Gya Korohi Bhiksha. Go to each and every house. Prati Ghare Ghare Gya. Korohi Bhiksha. Go and ask for alms in each and every house. And what is the alms you can ask? Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha. And the Mahaprabhu said, Iha nahi ar na balabe na boliba. Apart from this instruction, this order, don't give any other orders. Don't preach anything else. And dina avasare asi amara kohiva. After a whole day of preaching, in the evening, you both of you come and give your daily preaching report to me. In this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to start preaching in the Nadia district. So we'll see what happens. Mahaprabhu told also to them, in spite of your begging, if anyone refuses to accept your offer, then I will come with chakra and kill them. So Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur formed their preaching party and they start going from house to house in the Nadia district, requesting everyone to chant, sing and take Krishna's holy name. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur were dressed in the dress of a sannyasi. So pious people, when they saw these two divine personalities, they would offer obeisance to them. And they would invite them, please come and take lunch in our house. Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur would go to their house, but only beg. We do not want to take any lunch. We just have come to give this message of Lord Chaitanya. And what is the message of Lord Chaitanya? Please chant Krishna's holy name. And then they would leave the place. Saintly people, they were very pleased by hearing the request of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And therefore they will say, okay, definitely we'll do it. We'll chant Krishna's holy name, certainly. However, some class of people, they would not agree. And they would say amongst each other, these two people are mad because they are chanting a default mantra. These people who were speaking against Lord Nityananda Prabhu were the people who were not allowed to enter into the house of Srivas Thakur in the night. So they were very angry that we are Brahmanas and we are not allowed inside. This is completely against Vedic injunction. A Brahmana is derided entry into a house. So with the envy they were speaking. And in that envy, being offended, they were speaking like this in this word. However, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur even approached them. So when they would approach them, these people will shout loudly, beat them, beat them. They both are crazy. They are associating with crazy people, and therefore these two good gentlemen, they also become crazy now. And now they have come to make us crazy. And all this craziness is because of this one person, Nimaya Pandit. This Nimaya Pandit has driven the entire Navadvip into crazy people. This was what they were saying. Some ignorant people who did not know anything about taking clue from them, they were discussing maybe these people are like spies of a gang of thieves. So they are coming door to door, going into each and every house. They are checking how much wealth this house has. And the night these people will come with their gang and they will steal from our house. So this was the reaction, public reaction. Not everything favorable. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur were preaching that time. When Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur heard all this, they started laughing loudly. Because they were not at all afraid, because they were following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. They would go regularly every day to every house and they would preach. And in the evening they would come and give a report to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they saw two drunkards when they were going on their way to meet Lord Chaitanya. These drunkards were plunderers, murderers, they were addicted to wine and women. It is mentioned there was no end to their misdeeds. No sin they had ever committed. No, and they would roam here and there, catch any person and beat them and even kill them. Therefore, when they would come, people would watch them from a distance. They would not go even close to them, not even daring to go closer. Nityananda Prabhu saw these drunkards and he was amazed. These two drunkards sometimes would be very friendly to each other and suddenly they will become violent. And when they were violent, they would pull each other's hairs and in filthy language, they would abuse each other. Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions Chaitanya Bhagavat that these bodies of these two drunkards were filled with sins. The only sin they had not committed in their life was the sin of blaspheming a Vaishnava. Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions why this sin they had not committed, because they were too busy. They were too busy drinking and associating with drunkards. Somehow they didn't get an opportunity to come in front of Vaishnava and offend them. So that one sin was still, they had not committed that sin. So Nityanand Prabhu Haridas Thakur watched these two drunkards from a distance, and then they asked the local people, who are they? What is their caste? What is their name? And people said, oh, they are Jaghai and Madhai. And they were born in a very high-class Brahmana family. Not only their father, but their forefather, a line of predecessors, they were all great souls, pious Brahmanas. But somehow that these two people, they came in association of bad people and they became the most degraded. And because they became most degraded, their family members threw them out of the house. So now they are two rogues and thieves. Everyone in Nadia are afraid of them. Sometimes they set house on fire. Sometimes they rob, they steal, they kill, they rape, they eat meat and drink wine. Nityanand Prabhu heard this and then he started pondering. He began to ponder, began to think, how we can deliver these two drunkards. And Nityanand Prabhu's thoughts are like this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in this world to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. Who can be the best, recipient of his mercy other than Jaghai and Madhai? They are really fallen. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has yet not revealed his identity, and because of which people in Nadia take him so cheaply. They think that he is the one who's made everyone crazy. But if these two people are delivered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glories will be sung everywhere. And everyone will know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an ordinary person. And then he thinks that, and I am his servant. What is my job? My job is to make my master's fame increase. So if I can purify these two fellows, it will be a wonderful sight. It will be so nice to see them now intoxicated with wine, but later getting intoxicated with Krishna's holy name. And if I could do this, Nityanand Prabhu mentions, I would consider all my travels to all the holy places very successful. And Nityanand Prabhu says, today if someone touches even their shadow, then that person has to run and jump into Ganga with clothes on to purify. But tomorrow when they become great devotees, people will come to touch them and that touch will be equal to taking bath in Ganga. That will be transformation. So Nityanand Prabhu revealed his plan to Haridas Thakur. He told Haridas Thakur that long ago you were being attacked by the Yavana soldiers and while being about to be killed, you still prayed for them. And by your prayers, they got mercy. So now please do something for them also. You pray for them, they will also get mercy. When Haridas Thakur heard this, he knew well the glories of Lord Nityananda. So he said, whatever you desire, O Lord Nityanand Prabhu, will definitely be done soon. And you're trying to tell me to be merciful to them, but actually you're deceiving me. Because just by your thinking about them, they're already delivered. Then Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur together decided, okay, now we should approach them. So it is mentioned, when we're trying to approach Jaghai and Madhai, all the people in Nadia, they try to forbid them. Hey, don't go. Are you crazy? Do you want to get killed? You may lose your lives. You may sannyasi, but they don't care for sannyasis. Well, they are well known for killing brahmanas and killing cows. So they might kill you also. But somehow the Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur chanting Krishna, Krishna, they approach Jaghai and Madhai. They approach Jaghai and Madhai from a distance. And from a distance, Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur loudly repeated Lord's message. Bolo Krishna, bhajo Krishna, koro Krishna shiksha, Krishna matha, Krishna pita, Krishna dhanapran. When they heard that, the two drunkards, when they heard that, they did not know where the sound came from. So they turned around. And then they saw these two sannyasis, Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, telling them to chant Krishna's holy name. It is mentioned they were already angry. Their eyes were already red hot. Now it became more red hot and more anger came. They raised their hands and they shouted loudly, catch them, catch them. Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur saw this and they ran away. So Jaghai and Madhai were following behind. And Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur running swiftly. All the people who were watching this happening, They immediately thought, oh, what happened, what happened? We told them not to go, yet they went. Now what will happen? They are in danger. People who are atheists, they were very happy seeing this. They were saying, today Lord Narayan has awarded fit punishment to the pseudo sannyasis. Pious Brahmanas, they said, oh Krishna, please save them. In fact, everyone was so fearful, they ran away from there. We're not waiting for what to happen, what. So running like this, Lord Nityananda was running, Haridas Thakur was running, and while running, they were discussing. And Nityananda was asking Haridas Thakur, what do you think? If you survive today, it will be our great fortune, is it not? And Haridas Thakur is replying that actually it's my fault that I agreed with you. Today we'll definitely lose our life as a result of teaching these drunkards to chant Hare Krishna. The drunkards continued to follow Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, but because the drunkards were Jagannathai very fat because of their drinking and eating, they could not run, they could not keep pace with Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And moreover, they were drunk, so they were not knowing where they were running. They were just running, just to catch them. So Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they ran more faster. And they were chanting, Krishna, please save us, Krishna, please save us. And Haridas Thakur then suddenly said, oh, I can't run anymore, I am very tired. Why did I ever hear this naughty boy speaking like this? So he's saying humorously to Nityananda Prabhu. Once Krishna saved me from the Yavanas, but I doubt today, will Krishna ever save me today? Just because I heard this Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu immediately replies, you think I am restless? Think carefully. It is not me, it is your Lord Chaitanya who is restless. He is just a Brahmana, but yet he orders like a king. He calls us and tells, go and tell everyone chant Hare Krishna, door to door. He feels that he is very big king, so actually he is restless. And till now we see, we are trying to tell everyone chant Krishna's holy name and no one is hearing our request. And today just we approach the thieves and today we are going to lose our lives. Nityananda Prabhu mentioned sarcastically, if you do not follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, we'll be ruined. And today when we are following his order, we'll be ruined. So in both cases, we are going to be ruined. And then he mentions Haridas Thakur, I know you are very, very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore you will not find fault with the Lord. But what can be done? Ultimately, I am to be blamed. In this way, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur running fast, quarreling, but in a humorous way. Then finally, these two drunkards, Jagan and Madhari, got confused. They did not know where these people went. So they became angry and they started beating each other again. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur saw behind and saw that these people were out of sight and they reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they reached the house of Sachi Mata and they entered into the house. And Lord Gauranga was sitting there like a king with wonderful opulences with all associates around him. And they came in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, what is the report today? And it is mentioned Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing Krishna Katha with all of his associates. And Nityananda replied that how we approached these two drunkards and we told them politely, please chant Krishna's holy name. But they chased us in anger and somehow that we are fortunate to be alive. So Lord Gauranga asked, who are these two strangers, these two drunkards? So immediately Gangadas Pandit and Srivas Pandit replied that these two are Brahmanas. Born in pious Brahmana family but became degraded due to bad association. There is not a single house in the whole of Nadia where they have not committed any theft. And Lord Gauranga, you must see them and then you will know everything. Lord Gauranga replied, yes, yes, I know them very well. If they come here today now, I will immediately cut them to pieces, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Lord Nityananda told immediately Lord Chaitanya, you can do whatever you want. But as long as these two drunkards are around in Nadia, please don't tell us again to go and preach. Because if we go and again preach, they will catch us and they will kill us. And then Nityananda in a humorous mood, trying to chastise Lord Chaitanya, is saying, why do you needlessly brag about yourself? You're saying you'll cut them to pieces. We will see how great you are. Go and make them chant Govinda's holy names. And if you can deliver them, then your name as Patit Pavan will be famous. Then it will have meaning. So Nityananda Prabhu is trying to deliver them. So in a humorous way, in a sarcastic way, is telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instead of cutting them pieces, make them chant Hare Krishna. Let us see what is your power. Your glories have increased already by delivering me. But it will increase much more by delivering them. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. And then he said, Nityanand Prabhu, just by your thinking, they are already delivered. It is just a matter of time. They have taken your darshan, and just by the darshan, they will get the ultimate benefit of human form of life. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, all the Vaishnavas who assembled there, they chanted loudly, Hari, Hari, confirming that Jagai and Madhai will be delivered. So they all got dispersed. Haridas Thakur was now talking with Advaita Acharya. And Haridas Thakur said to Advaita Acharya, the Lord has sent me with this restless boy to preach. What a preaching partner I have got. And then he started mentioning what happens on their preaching adventures. He told, I remain somewhere preaching to a person, suddenly Nityanand Prabhu vanishes. I am searching, where is he? And I find him that in the rainy season when the Ganga is full and the crocodiles are swimming, Nityanand Prabhu goes and jumps in between the crocodiles and tries to float with them. And I shout loudly, come out, come out. And he's not hearing. And finally, when people start calling him, then he comes out and starts beating the people who call him. So when these people are beaten, they run away. And all the villagers come with the sticks to beat Nityanand Prabhu. And then I have to somehow go and then pacify them. This is what happens when I go to preach with him. And then what happens? Not only that, sometimes he goes inside the house of a coward man, steals ghee and yogurt and runs away. Then this man catch me and they try to beat me. Haridas Thakur mentioned, he does things he is not supposed to do. Whenever he sees an unmarried girl, Nityanand Prabhu goes and tells her, will you marry me? Sometimes Nityanand Prabhu, he climbs on someone's ox and then starts driving the ox. And then he says, I am Mahadev. Other times he milks other cows and drinks the milk. So one day, Haridas Thakur mentioned that, one day I called him and consoled him and told him, pacified him, this is not the normal behavior, you should improve. So when I told like that, Nityanand Prabhu scolded me. He said, what can your Advaita Acharya do to me? And he also said, what can your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do to me? Who you think your Lord is? I am not afraid of him. So Haridas Thakur mentions, I never tell all these things to devotees because they will be bewildered. But what can I do? Today there was a summit of whole thing. We just barely saved our lives. And then it is mentioned, Advaita Acharya, when he heard this, he started laughing loudly. And he mentioned, it is not a surprise for me at all. Today your Nityanand approached these two drunkards. What can one drunkard do when he sees the other two drunkards there? Definitely he will go and associate with the other two. So therefore there is no mismatch in their association. There is a mismatch in you and these three. So better you don't go. Because one drunkard will associate with the other two drunkards and they will be happy. And you will see Lord Nityanand Prabhu will turn everyone in Nadia into drunkards like his own. Just wait and see. Within few days, Nityanand Prabhu will bring these two drunkards to the assembly of devotees, and they will chant and dance with devotees. Then Advaita Acharya, while speaking very smilingly, suddenly became very angry and he became very grave. And he said, we will soon see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power. You will see tomorrow, he told Haridas Thakur. Nimai and Nitai will bring these two drunkards here and dance with them. And when they dance, because we both are from very good, prestigious family, we will not participate in that dance. We will leave this place. So it was very kind of a humorous, where someone is, when Aditya is angry also and is also humorously pointing a thing. But whatever it may be, both the parties are enjoying. When Advaita Acharya said that we will not stay in this place and dance with them because it's not a good place for a prestigious or social person to participate, Haridas Thakur simply laughed and laughed. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions, anyone who can understand these words of Advaita Acharya, he is a great soul. And he mentions that only Haridas Thakur could understand the meaning of what Advaita Acharya was trying to point out. Then Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat at this point describes another meeting, a past issue where Jagai and Madhai happened to come in front of Lord Chaitanya. So Jagai and Madhai would make camps in different places in Nadia in the night. So one day they decided to make camp on that ghat of Ganga, which is very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to take bath. So they stayed there, and when they stayed there, no one went to take bath on that ghat. Even if someone had to really go, he would take 20 people along with him. to take bath in the Ganga, because they knew that Jagai and Madhaya made their camps on that ghat. So that night, while they were intoxicated, they heard some sound. And this sound was coming from the house of Shivas Thakur. And this was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's night kirtan. So when the kirtan was going and Mridang was playing, Jagai and Madhaya were dancing on the ghat. They were drinking wine and they were dancing. They were very happy. They were really ecstatic. They were feeling that someone is playing music for them and they are supposed to dance. So they were very happy with overall performance. The whole kirtan went night long. And night long, Jagai and Madhaya kept dancing. So the next day, what happened is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the ghat. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that ghat, and first time Jagai and Madhaya met face to face Lord Chaitanya, Jagai and Madhaya in the drunken state said, "Nimai Pandit, did you finish singing your prayers to Goddess Durga? It was very nice yesterday night. Actually, you sing very well, and we want to see and hear you sing. When should we come to dance and hear with you?" So when Lord heard that, he did not pay much attention, he left that place, it is mentioned. So they already had given, expressed a desire of dancing with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Nityanpu also had made that same desire, so it was win-win, both parties were agreeing. It's a matter of time how Nityanpu will now turn them back, will change their lives. Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions that Lord Nityanpu wanted to deliver this Jagai and Madhai. So one day, purposely Lord Nityanpu took a path which will lead to Jagai and Madhai. So Jagai and Madhai were walking one day, and suddenly they saw Nityanand Prabhu. And when they saw Nityanand Prabhu, it is mentioned, they asked Nityanand, "Who are you?" And Nityanand Prabhu said, "I am going to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house." He said, "What is your name?" "My name is Avadhut," Nityanand Prabhu said. Hearing the name Avadhut, Madhai became very angry. He had a pot, a pitcher in his hand, and he threw the pot of pitcher on Lord Nityanpu's head. Immediately, Lord Nityanpu's head started bleeding. Blood started oozing out. But Nityanpu simply remained calm, remembering the names of Lord Krishna. He did not retaliate. So Madhaya was not happy with the whole thing. He wanted him to retaliate. So he again decided to again strike Nityanpu. But seeing this, Jagai, he obstructed Madhaya to hit again. He said, "Don't you see? He's a sannyasi, and you hit him, he didn't retaliate. He is praying, chanting Krishna's holy name. He's a different person, don't hit him. And what will you gain by killing a sannyasi? He's a beggar, nothing will come from the killing. So better don't kill." Now when this whole dialogue was taking place, some devotees ran, who had seen this, they went and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came running with his associates, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a rage. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, saw Lord Nityanand bleeding, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into trance. Mahaprabhu saw that even though Nityanpu was bleeding, but he was simply smiling in between these two drunkards. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into trance and he invoked a Sudarshan Chakra. When Jagai and Madhai saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hand a Sudarshan Chakra, it is mentioned that they were completely frightened. Lord Nityanpu immediately went and caught hold of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hand and said, "Oh, actually, it is Madhai who hit me. This Jagai was trying to save me, so he is a very nice person. Please, you give your mercy to him. And above all, because they have hurt me, I am not disturbed at all. So I beg, please, give these two people to me. I will take care of them." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Jagai had obstructed Madhai to again hit. He became very happy and he embraced Jagai and told, "May Krishna will be merciful to you. Today you have purchased me by protecting my Lord Nityananda. Ask for any boons. Today I will give you pure devotional service." And when all the devotees who were there, they saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to give pure devotional service to Jagai, they all chanted loudly, "Hari, Hari, all glories to Lord Hari." Jagai got the mercy. He fell down senseless to the ground. And Lord said, "Jagai, get up." Again Jagai got up. And he got up and he held Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And then he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful 400 form. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his feet on Jagai's chest. Jagai caught hold of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet and began to cry. Seeing this, Madhai became now very much frightened, fearful. He told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that anything we have done in life is always together. There is not a single thing which you have done separately. So today, Jagai has got mercy. What about me? Please give him mercy. And Mahaprabhu said, there is no hope for you. You dare to cut Lord Nityananda Prabhu's body, make it bleed. Madai said, oh Lord, please don't say that. You are very merciful. Previously, the demons shot arrows on you, but still you gave them your lotus feet. What about me? He said, the demon shot arrows on me, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but I never shot arrows on my devotees. So you have caused harm to Nityananda Prabhu, therefore I will never give you my mercy. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, you offended Nityananda Prabhu, but if you go to Nityananda Prabhu and he agrees to forgive you, then there is chance of some mercy. So Madhai went and fell at the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda picked him up and embraced him. And immediately Madhai also received pure devotional service. And in this way, it is mentioned that how Jagai and Madhai became pure devotees. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told both of them, henceforth don't sin. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed all the devotees, take Jagai and Madhai to my house and there we'll have kirtan. So all of them went to the house. And in that house, there was a big tumultuous kirtan in which Jagai and Madhai were dancing along with all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagai and Madhai offered dandavat to everyone present there, begging that maybe knowingly, unknowingly, we offended you. Please forgive us. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, that don't think anymore like this. You have become purified. And all your sinful reactions have gone. And in fact, I have taken your sinful reaction. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told everyone, I will show you the proof of it. And immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, golden colored body, became black colored. And all the devotees were aghast that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, he has taken all the sins of Jagai and Madhai. And all the devotees chanted Hare Krishna loudly, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body again turned to golden feature. Jagai and Madhai started offering prayers to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. That's another chapter. Let me go for one more hour. So we'll end here. So we can see that how Nityananda Prabhu's intervention in the life of Jagai and Madhai saved them. And just by thinking that they should get mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to give mercy. So that is the power of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked by one devotee, Srila Prabhupada asked some devotees, he asked them, what is the duty of a guru and what is the duty of a disciple? So Srila Prabhupada, when he asked this to his disciples, they had different answers. And finally, Srila Prabhupada gave a very succinct answer. Since we're discussing Nityananda Prabhu's glories, Nityananda Prabhu's Guru Tattva, and all the acharyas are under the divine lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. So Prabhupada said that the duty of Guru, Shraddha Gopinath ki, the duty of Guru is to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada said, the duty of disciple is to assist Guru in his service. And Prabhupada mentions, just like when the Guru established deity worship, so he is calling the Lord, come and stay here, I will take care of you. But then disciples should take that responsibility from Guru and should take care of the deities. And when they are taking care of the deities, they are cleaning a temple, they are doing any service, what should a disciple think? Should not think that I am doing a service. The disciple should think that I am assisting my guru in cleaning. I am assisting my guru in doing deity worship. So that is how a disciple should think. Giriraj Maharaj was mentioning a nice pastime that how once he came from preaching engagement and he was very happy. The program was very good. So he came and told Prabhupada, I like this preaching very much. And Prabhupada said, no, not that I like this preaching, but you should say this preaching is my life. So Prabhupada said that one cannot repay his debt to one's guru, but one can make an effort. And what is effort? The method is one should hear from guru and share that knowledge with others. Shravanam and then Kirtanam. Prabhupada said we are doing Shravanam and Kirtanam morning and evening. Someone hears, someone is speaking, others hear, then they hear, then they speak. In this way we are trying to repay the debt to our guru. So in this way Prabhupada said, by serving guru parampara, we please Nityananda Prabhu. And when we please Nityananda Prabhu, we get mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by achieving mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can approach Radharani and Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, but to get Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, we should approach Jagai and Madhai. That means we should preach. We should go and preach to Jagai and Madhai. And seeing that, Nityananda Prabhu will be very pleased and he will be happy. So in this way, the Krishna consciousness movement will go on in this unified effort of cooperation, of preaching and hearing. Hare Krishna. I'm very sorry I took 15 minutes extra of your time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Lord Nityananda Prabhu ki jai.